awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Man, Dale, you taught these guys to bring their Bibles to church. Look at that. That is cool. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence in this place right now. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the life, Lord, that we live in you. Oh, God, just a taste of eternity. Thank you for your eternal spirit that's in us, who you are. Tonight, speak to us, encourage us. Your word, Lord, is so alive. Make it alive in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday evening is a youth night. When I say youth night, that doesn't mean it's for youth. It means the youth are going to do it. It's for you. And it's not going to be lightweight, I promise you. You wait till you hear the worship. You hear the skill and the musicians that are back there and the singing. You wait till you see the things that they're doing and the skits and the video things, that the work that they're doing. It's really first class. You wait till you hear the word and the anointing and what's taking place. These kids are turned on for Jesus. And they're going to be ministering to you. I really want to encourage you to come because it's going to do something for you when you see what's happening with our kids. It's going to minister to you. Not just when you see it. You're going to experience it. But also you want to come just to support the kids. So, you know, we're really standing with them and we're with them. So that's happening next Sunday evening. I want you to turn to your, open your Bibles if you have it. I want you open to Judges chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament. Right after attorneys. It's in Judges. All right. How many of you've got the greatest attorney going? All right. Judges chapter 6. Just to get a little bit of what's going on here. You know, every time Israel would turn away from God, then he'd let them come into a servitude. They had two captivities. Captivities were when they actually were taken out of the land, taken captive. They weren't in their own land at all. They lost everything. They become prisoners, eunuchs. They became slaves, servants. And the first one was to Assyria. The second one was to Babylon. But then they had servitudes where there were tribes that came into their land and that they had to pay tribute to them, and they just stripped them of everything that they had, and they became subservient to them. The Canaanites, Philistines, Midianites, Amorites, the Hivites, Moab, you know, Babylon, as they served in servitude. And that's what's happening here in chapter 6. And most of us know the story of Gideon. And the Midianites were, at that time, ruling over them. They did it for 7 years. And so Israel was having to hide everything they had. And it said that, you know, that they were putting it in dens and caves and making strongholds to hide their livestock and to hide their crops, and that they were impoverished because of the Midianites. And they came, it says, like grasshoppers for the multitude of them without number, with camels, and they came into the land, destroying the land. And it's here that we pick it up down in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah and pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So we see Gideon's hiding the stuff so that the Midianites won't get it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, "The Lord's with you, a mighty man of valor." We've heard this before. And Gideon said unto him, "My Lord, if the Lord's with us, then why is all this happening? Where's all the miracles that happened with our fathers? And that when you came up out of Egypt, you know, so why have you forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites?" He said, "The mighty man of valor." And then he said in verse 14, the Lord looked on him and said, "You go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?" And he said, "My Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to save Israel? My family's poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. So he called him, changed his life in a moment. He was cowering in fear, hiding all this stuff. And man, the Spirit of God came on him and changed his life forever. And I want us to look over in verse 33. And it says, all the Midianites and the Amalekites, and by the way, the Ishmaelites were in there too, that they gathered and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and gathered all after him, and he sent messengers to Asher and to Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And in chapter 7, we find out there were so many that came from all over Israel. 32,000 of them showed up to do battle. 32,000 rallied under Gideon. Man, I mean, who's this guy? He's just thrashing wheat and hiding it, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on him, and he's got favor. And man, they came, 32,000 strong. And the Lord said, can't happen like this. There's too many. So I want you to say, all those that are fearful, you go back home. Whoever heard of doing a battle like that? We got too many to do this battle. And so if you do it, then you'll say you did it yourselves. And won't say that I did it, said the Lord. So he says, anybody's fearful, go home. 22,000 left. And that was 10,000 left. And you got to be thinking about the guys that were there. This is the weirdest time, you know, I've ever been in the army. Man, we show up to do the battle and they send us back home again. And then he said again, there's too many. If you do this, then, you know, God's not going to get the glory for it. So I want you to watch when they go to drink. And those that get down on their belly and drink with their mouth from the water, send them home. Those that get down and on their one knee and scoop it with their hand, you keep them. They're the ones that are going to stand with you. So out of now 32,000, 300 stay. That's all. 300. 300. The first thing that I want to share with you tonight is that faith relies on God alone. Faith relies on God alone. I want to give you six facts about faith tonight to bring victory in your lives. God's going to give you a KO punch. Hallelujah. What did he say? Dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Remember that? Cassius Clay. Boy, that guy. Is that what he said? Float like a bee. All right. Knocked him out anyway. All right. Not by might nor power, but by my... Come on. Not by might nor... So faith relies on God alone. You know, in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, says, let the weak say, I am strong. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said in verse 10 in the same chapter, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. It's in my weakness before God, that's when God's strength shows up. That our faith relies on God alone. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that's the testimony of those in the Hall of Fame, in the Faith Hall of Fame. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. It says, who through faith, talking about all the mighty in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews, in the Faith Hall of Fame, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Say it with me. Out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. You know, Moses said, who am I that I should go? Who am I? David, we see his heart, just as a young man, humble youth who puts his trust in God. He says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. My heart is not haughty. That he sees himself just as a youth, putting his trust in the Lord. We see King Saul, who just was a king just before David. And it says, and when Saul was small in his own sight, he was anointed. When he was small, when he saw himself as weak. We see Paul's heart as we read those scriptures. Not proud, not haughty. He saw his weakness, but knew it was God's strength that did it. That he dies to himself daily so that death works in him, that life might work in you, he said. That it's God that's going to do it. Gideon said, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the least in my father's house. Who am I? How can I do this thing? God says, you go in my strength. And your strength, he's saying, but it's my strength, God, is what he's really saying. You're going to win this battle. So 32,000 are going to boast in themselves, saying, you know, that they won the battle. 10,000 is still too many. So he uses 300. Weak in number, but strong in faith. And that the Lord is going to show. So God delights in hopeless situations to show himself strong on our behalf. You say, well, I fit the bill. God delights in that. I want you to know it. Because what does it do? It forces us to seek him and trust him. It's not going to happen except God does it. Oh, man, we get serious about God. We start seeking the face of God then. It's more than a song we sing in church. Wow. Man, when we're in that situation, because we know how's this going to happen except God does it. And when it happens, then we know absolutely that God's the one who did it, and we glorify him, and we didn't do it ourselves. So you say, you don't know. You just don't know the situation I'm in. Well, praise God, you know. I want you to know the Lord's doing something special in your life. God wants you to trust in him alone, not in our strength, not in our intelligence. Not in our personal giftings, not in our money, not in our positions, not in powerful acquaintances or people that have favor. You know, not by our feelings, not by what we're seeing, not by the circumstances that are happening. God sets the stage to develop our faith by forcing us to seek him, and then he brings forth great victory in our lives. So, are you in a hard place? Are you in a hard place now? You feel alone, deserted, helpless, hopeless, weak, me being little, fearful. Remember I said that sometimes faith doesn't mean you don't have fear. Faith just means that your fear is stronger than the faith. I'm going to do it in my fear. I'm going to step out and do it. God's going to see me through. Even there's a little, Paul says he does it in trembling and fear he comes, you know, trusting in God, not to do it in his flesh. So, is that the way you're feeling? How many of you are feeling, you know, just a little? Three of you. Come on. How many feeling just a little bit in the face of your problems and situations, you know? Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. Because God has positioned you for victory. Not by might nor power, but by the Lord God. To put your trust in God alone. To put your trust in God alone. And then there'll be no doubt who did it. Now, I want us to pick it up in verse 9. And start in verse 8 here. It says, so the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get you down into the host, for I have delivered it unto your hand. I have delivered them in your hand. Faith stands on God's word. God spoke a word to him. And that it's faith that stands not on what the numbers we see or the obstacles or how great it may be or what the x-ray said or what your bank statement says. It rests on God's word, the word of truth. That's where our confidence comes from, not in what we see. This is an amazing story. This isn't makeup stuff. This is a real thing. This happened. That he stood on the word of God. Listen, you don't just have a word to stand on, do you understand? Man, we've got exceeding great and precious promises given to us that fit every situation in our life that we will ever come across. He gives us everything that pertains to life. Do you hear what I'm saying? There isn't any promise that he's not given that doesn't fit you and where your life is. God's spoken to us. The completeness of his word. Is God's word true?
Yes.
Is God's word a respecter of persons?
No.
Does he do it for one and not for another?
No.
The promises belong to everyone in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And what makes them work? How good we are?
No.
What makes them work?
Faith.
I mean, even when you mess up?
Yes.
That it's faith. Is that right? Faith moves the hand of God. He doesn't look for perfect people because he'd never find a perfect people. But he looks for people with a perfect heart, people that trust him, people that put their trust in him. We don't have part of God's word. We've got the whole thing. We've got a better covenant with better promises. We got a better covenant than Gideon ever had. Hello? A better covenant than Gideon ever dreamed about. That he can know the presence of God, but not for God to live in him. God's living in us. Man, the Lord's with us all the time. I hope God comes with me, goes into battle. God's with you all the time. He doesn't have to come. He's always there. He's always in you. So that the word itself became flesh, and that word dwells in us now. We know Romans, I just shared with you, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, Hebrews 4:12. I think most of us are familiar with that, where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But this is what that says. The word of God is quick. The word of God is quick. The root of that word is zoe, means life. But the real word there is zahao. It means that it's alive. The word of God is alive. It's a living word. It's in us. It's alive. It's a living thing. It says in Ephesians 2:1 that we've been quickened by the word of God. That doesn't mean, woo, we may were quick. It means we were made alive. The Spirit of God made alive in us by the Spirit of God. That the resurrection life of God came into us. And that the word of God, it's not just, oh, ho-hum, ho-hum. Oh, begot, 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 begot. Listen, this word is alive. It's alive. It's a sharp, double-edged sword. It pierces, it cusses. It's alive. This word is a living thing. He says, the words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. They're life. So God's word is alive. But it's no good to you if it just stays between the covers. It's got to get in you. That quickened word has to get in us. There's so many Christians, they really don't know the word. They don't know where anything is. Where's the book of attorneys anyway? I mean, you know, they don't know. So they don't know. They don't read the word. They don't take time. I talked about it this morning. We got to get in the word. Every day, every day, every day. How many of you weren't here this morning? Can I see your hands? Let me challenge you. I challenge church. I've been doing it. I did it first of the year. I want to do it again. Read the Bible every day. I want you can go all the way through a Bible in a year. You can do more. You know, you don't have to just do minimum, but you can do it. If you just read 2 chapters of the Old Testament every day, along with 1 psalm, when you're done with the psalms, start on Proverbs. Read 1 chapter in Proverbs a day and read 1 chapter in the New Testament every day. You'll make it through the whole Old Testament in a year and actually have a couple weeks to spare. And you say, well, what if I don't do it a year? Okay, then it took you 2 weeks longer. It took you 2 months longer. It took you 6 months longer. But you got further than you're getting right now. Get into it. Discipline yourself. Read the word. Let that living word that's quickened get inside of you. And faith is going to start happening in your life. When you start getting that word into your spirit and into your life. We spend so much wasted time, you know, getting other stuff in there. We read all kinds of junk. Man. I don't even take newspapers anymore. I don't want to read that stuff. It's a waste of time. I already know what's happened. So-and-so killed so-and-so. Somebody raped somebody. Police officers up for charger. School teachers up for charger. Some perverts living down on the corner, you know, by the school. I already know all that stuff. I've heard it. 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 I want the word of God in my heart. That's what I want. Renew the spirit of our mind so that this living word becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. You know, if it's not alive in you, then you're not going to act in it. You're not going to walk in it. You're not going to be strong. So you know, if you feel defeated, if you're under your circumstances, if you're discouraged, then Is it alive in you? That's the question. You got to get this word in you. If my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. I shared that verse this morning. If my word is in you, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, then you're going to ask what you will. Here's the third thing that I want to share. And look in verse 9. Look in verse 9. We're going to start there. That is, faith is strengthened in our obedience. And it says, and it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host I have delivered unto you. So, you know, God told him that I've delivered him into your hand. But let's read on. And we'll see what happens here. And it said, but if you fear to go down, then go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall your hands be strengthened to go down to the host in battle, he's saying. And then they went down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, just multitudes, and their camels without number as the sand by the seaside for the multitude. And when Gideon came down, behold, there was a man that he was telling this other guy about a dream he had. And Gideon's listening to this dream. And here's what he said. He says, and I dreamed a dream, and lo, there was this cake of barley bread. And it, you know, it's tumbling down, man. I saw a monster barley bread coming at us. And when he hit us, man, went in the tent and brought destruction. And the other guy says, man, he says, that's nothing except for the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, and the men of Israel, for God has delivered into their hand. Man. Joshua's listening to this going, whoa, man, whoa. You know, and that God's confirming to him what's going to take place. That God's telling him, verse 15, it says, amen. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation, then he worshipped and he returned in the host of Israel and said, rise, for the Lord's going to deliver into your hand a whole host of Midianites. Here's what I want to say. That when you take that first step of faith, when you step out, you know, as God begins to reveal to you, Gideon stepped up to it. You know, he's hiding stuff, and then we find him blowing a trumpet and gathering all the people. And I mean, here's the guy that was cowering in fear before, saying, I'm the least in my father's house. Now he's telling, you know, for these 32,000, we got too many, and for, you know, 22,000 to leave, and then he sends home another bunch of them, you know, ends up with 300. I mean, I'd say that took some faith. What do you think? Man. So he took those first steps of faith. And then after that, then the Lord encouraged him. Here's what I wanted to show you, is that faith is strengthened in our obedience. If you just respond to the light that God shows you, what he's showing you, and you do it and obey, then God will cause things to strengthen your faith as you begin to move in his will. There's things that God just does to quicken it, that there's things that happen. There's things that happen to you. I remember I had a dream. I was a little confused about it. I didn't know quite what it meant. And I just thought of it because I saw Mark McCricker there, and I don't even know if he remembers this. He came up to me in prayer meeting. I was just standing in faith. I didn't understand the dream, but, you know, God quickens things. And he just came up to me and says, I have no idea what this means at all. He just walked over to me in prayer meeting, and he says, but the Lord just told me, he says, you're not going to die. You know, because I was walking in God's will, and I had a dream. I wasn't quite getting it, and I was a little fearful. What does this mean? What are you saying to me? And God began to make it clear. He didn't know what he was saying. You know, but the Lord will bring direction and encouragement to you and lift you up whenever you're going through anything if you just walk in faith. That's happened to me over and over and over again. A word of God, a prophecy, it doesn't come to give you all this weird direction. It tells you things that you already know in your spirit to confirm things that you know. Don't you fall into this thing. Where, you know, give me a word. Oh, they have a word for me. You're going to mess up your life. You don't need to be getting a word. You've got somebody, you've got a straight line to God. You've got your own private line to the throne of God. You don't need to be getting stuff secondhand all the time from somebody else whose life's all messed up too. Listen to me. I'm telling you something that's going to save some of you a lot of trouble. You listen to God. If the word comes, it'll be a confirmation of something you already know in your heart. and it'll bear witness. But you already knew that. You already knew it. When Agabus prophesied to Paul, when he said the man who has this belt is going to be bound and he's going to go to Rome, Paul said, I already know it. He already knew it. Every place I go, there's prophecy about what's going to happen, that he already knew that. It wasn't news to him. It was just a confirmation of it. So I want you to be careful of it. You know, I've shared this story before. It's kind of humorous, but it wasn't funny at the time to him. You know, and that Nicky Cruz, we had a crusade with him in Fort Wayne once back in the days when I had, you know, black hair and big bushy black mustache. And we were doing a crusade with Nicky Cruz, and he was told the story how that he wanted to have a son. And so, you know, he was real excited and married, and so they have first child, and it was a girl. So he said, well, all right, next one's going to be a son. Had another girl. Says, all right, I got two girls. Next one's going to be a boy. You already guessed, didn't you? It was a girl. And so somebody prophesied. I said, man, your desire, you know, is to have a son. God's heard you. You've prayer. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And he's going to give you the son you've been seeking. So he tried again. You know what happened, right? He got a what? A girl. Listen, don't you let people be telling you anything, you know, of God's mind and all this stuff. You seek God yourself. God's got a word for you. He doesn't give a secondhand word. Everybody say amen. Amen. If somebody's going to bring a word of prophecy to you, it confirms what you already know in your spirit to bring encouragement to you. Or a dream, or whatever it is. So here's a dream that just confirmed it, to brought strength to him, to prepare him for what God was going to do. Here's the next thing, number four. That faith frees us to trust in God. So man, he's got this faith now. And that he stepped out in faith and things are happening. And now he takes those first steps of faith and God confirms it. And somebody in the camp of the Midianites has a dream and says, Gideon's going to cream us. And so he goes back with confidence, says, arise, get up. The Lord's delivered the Midianites into our hand. And so here's the next thing. That then faith, when we have faith, it frees us to trust in God for the victory. To do it God's way, not our own way. That it frees us. We're not fearful to get God's instructions. So this was a weird plan. He had to have faith. Look in verse 16. And so they divided them into 300 men into three different companies, put a trumpet in every man's hand, and emptied pitchers, lamps in the pitchers. And then he said unto them, look at me, and you do the same thing. Behold, I'm going to come to the outside of the camp, and so it's going to be. And when I blow with a trumpet, then I want all of you to blow on your trumpets with me on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon! And so it says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him, they broke into three different people, came to the outside of the camp, and then beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets. Randall does that better than I do. And then he broke the pitchers, held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands, and began to blow with everything they had, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon! And there never been another battle like that since. And they don't study that at West Point. So here's how you win battles. But instead of fear, when you have faith, your heart begins to open to get God's solution and plans. That you're not all tensed up and running and, you know, in fear and unbelief and grabbing at anything. When you get a hold of God and have faith, you have faith to trust him. This was quite a plan. He had to hear from God. Because, man, if this isn't God, we're dead meat. You know? So I wanted to say this, that God uses simple and weak things when he does it so that he gets the glory. I've always said, if it's too complicated, it's not God. When people are telling me all this complicated thing we need to do, I'm just saying, hold it. I don't get any witness God is in this thing. It's just too complicated. God does it in simple ways. The cross is profound, but it was simple. That he purchased our salvation on that cross. It wasn't some complicated thing. Oh yeah, it's profound. Just a simple old rugged cross. It was so simple, the devil was just blinded to it, man. Talk about a knockout punch. He never even saw it coming. So, the book of Judges shows a history of simple things, weak things. You know, just like this battle that was won, think about it, with a pitcher and a lantern and, you know, I mean, man, and trumpets. There'd never be anything like that. And God's not going to do it again. God gives other instructions for other battles. So don't get, you know, God did it like this once, he'll do it like that again. Be careful. So we just look at the things. We look at the judges and read through and look at these judges. Shamgar, he killed 600 men with an ox goad. That's about an 8-foot-long pole. Jael, just this little woman, killed this mighty warrior, Sisera, the leader of the Canaanites, with what? A nail. Put him in his tent, put him to sleep with warm milk, covered his head, and then went over with a hammer, and this little lady snuck up and went, ha, ha, ha. Pow! Man, what a headache! Fell under little old lady's nail. Amalek was the 7th judge. He was a wicked, wicked man. He killed 70 of his own brothers to get into power. Well, you know, you reap what you sow. What happened? They were in battle. He got up close to the wall in the battle, and there was a little old lady there, had a millstone, and she just went, ooh. And he said, I am so embarrassed. Kill me with a sword. I can't stand it. A lady hit me with a stone. So he's running a sword through me. God uses simple things. Hallelujah. Man, you listen to these ladies. They can be really, you know, right. Samson killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. Jesus healed with mud and spit. God gave Moses a staff. David a sling. The widow baked a cake for Elijah. God uses simple things. Gideon here used a trumpet, a pitcher, and a lamb. God will bring victory to you in a simple way. What I'm saying is faith frees you to trust him, to hear what he's saying. And it may surprise you when he tells you what it's going to be. And when God gives you word, don't let other people talk you out of it. I found out through the years, man, when I get that thing in my heart and then people start trying to talk me out of it, I'm almost always sorry when I don't do what I felt impressed in my heart to do. So it can be something simple. If God's speaking to you, you know, you do it. That doesn't mean you don't get counsel. Here's the 5th thing. I want you to look in verse 21. The faith stands. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. Now, I want you to just imagine this scene for a moment here. Man. 300 men divided into 100 men on each side. How many men are they fighting? 35,000, we'll see. 35,000 against 300. See, you read this before. You know how it ends. They ain't ever read this. They're listening to some guy that was hiding his grain in a well that blew a trumpet and it sent everybody home. And now they find themselves up there with a pitcher in their hand and with a trumpet and a candle and blowing a trumpet. And do you think there could have been any doubt in those 300 men saying, what is going to happen next? Do you believe that? Do you think somewhere maybe there was a little doubt, but they did it in obedience anyway? But what I'm saying is that they stood against it. They stood, even maybe there was a little fear, but faith stands under pressure. Faith stands under pressure. If God's given you a word, don't doubt in the dark what God gave you in the light. Stand in it. Stand in it. Stand in it. If 35,000 are against you, stand in it. God is going to perform His word, that God's word is true, and that you need to stand on the promise. If you've obeyed God, now stand in it. We know this verse back in Hebrews 10 where it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, then you might receive the promise." What it's saying? Faith stands under pressure. So what are you going through now? You know, you're not going through anything different than anybody else goes through. But to overcome, you're going to overcome by faith. And you're going to have to stand. Faith relies on God alone, nothing else. Oh, the Lord's taking everything away. Well, praise God, you're set for something great to happen in your life. Okay? Faith stands on God's word, not by what you feel or see or what somebody else tells you. Faith is strengthened in your obedience. And when you just take that step of faith, you know, you watch. God will confirm it. He'll encourage you. He'll say you're on track. Something is going to happen to encourage you. Something's going to happen. It's going to encourage you. I remember, you know, I stepped out in faith for this building. Man, don't tell me it wasn't a step of faith. Some would say foolishness to step out in faith. And I remember my faith just got a little weak. You know, we all do that. But I'm standing. God's going to do it. Skinning. And that was the time that a man came up and said, "We're going to be able to give $500,000 to church." It happened at that time. It was that night I came to church. See, I stepped out in faith. And then God confirms just those things that happen to strengthen your faith as you're in the battle. So obey God. Step out. God is going to do that. And that faith frees us then to trust God for the victory. And here we see faith stands under pressure. And the last thing that I want to share with you tonight is that faith always brings victory. It always does. Look in verse 21. "And the Lord said, every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow." They started killing each other, even throughout all the host. Man, all these lights were shining and these trumpets were blowing. They thought there were 100 million of them out there. And they got so confused, they just started killing everybody in the dark, their own men. All things are possible. Is that right? Now, did they expect that to happen? No. They just trusted God. God didn't tell him he was going to do that in advance. God doesn't tell you how it's all going to happen. This is the way I'm going to do it. He just says, you trust me, you stand in faith, and faith always brings victory. Now, you know, the story goes on here. And then it says, "And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Beth Barbara and Jordan. And then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters into Bethlehem and Jordan. And then they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb and all the rock of Oreb," and so forth. You know, so all of a sudden, all Israel, then they gather around and they come and they enter in. Here's what I'm saying. When you really walk with God in faith, that it's always going to bring encouragement to other people. Your faith is going to lift up other people. You hear what I said? Your faith is always going to inspire other people. Men of faith always move people. Women of faith always move people. And that when they see God respond to you in the things that happen in faith, then it encourages them. I can stand in faith. If God did that, why do you think we rehearse this and read all these stories in the Bible? They're not made up stories. These are true men and women that lived, that stood in faith, and that God responded to, and it fills us with faith and inspires us when they see. So when you stand in faith, it's going to encourage your wife to stand in faith, or your husband to stand in faith, or your son to stand in faith, or your daughter, or your neighbor, or whoever it is. It's going to encourage other people to stand in faith when you live a life of faith. Say, what did God do? Tell me about that again. And I said, and then look over here. Look over in verse 10 in chapter 8. "And now Zeba and Zamama were in Gerkar, These names are something, aren't they? And Fred and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of East. There was only 15,000 left. For there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. And Gideon went up to the way of them that dwelt in the tents of the east of Nobah and Jogbaha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zebah and Zelmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian and Zebah and Zelmunna and discomfited all the host. You add that together. What's your math? 120,000 plus 15,000 were left. 135,000 died by 300. God always does more than you think he's going to do. God wants you to apply this to your life. Not to go out and hit people, you know, and hit them with a sword, but just saying there's nothing too hard for God to do. He wants you to trust in him alone. He wants you to get this living word in you. And that you step out in faith when God's dealing with your heart. He's going to do something to confirm it and help you along. And that the Lord is going to do it. He's going to do it. And that he's going to make it clear and he's going to give you a plan. And it'll probably be something that seems really simple. He said, why didn't I think of that before? When you see it, he just goes, yeah, I'll do it. And you stand in faith. There comes that time when you just got to stand. And when you're looking around you, there's nothing to believe in except God's word. Now, you're out there. You're going to stand in faith. And then God always comes through and does more than you expect him to do. I want us to bow our heads. Father, we thank you. This word is true. It's alive. Lord, I know tonight that you brought this word for some people that are here. That they find themselves in a situation right now where they're saying, Pastor, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. I could tell you these circumstances. It's a long story, but this is where it is now. I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, good. I've positioned you for victory. And you're going to know that I did it. Because no one else can do it but me. It's 8 o'clock. I said it'd be done by 8 o'clock. I'm done preaching. Now this is overtime. I want to tell you a story. There's a man in our congregation. He's a doctor. And pretty new Christian, or never really walked in that place of, you know, real faith. And he was an anesthesiologist, and he still is. He called me on the phone. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said that there was a problem that was happening where he worked with these two guys that he worked for. And that they were, like, having him do all the work, and they were kind of getting the money and getting the glory for it. And did he'd gone to someone that was over him when he did that, you know, the CEO of this, you know, really stood with him. But then the other guys got upset and got him fired. And he called me and he said, I lost my job today. He said, you know, maintenance men get severance. They give me nothing. I haven't told my wife yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he caught me in the morning. He called me up and I was actually outside praying. And I said, God is going to do something. He's going to show himself strong to you. He's doing this to stretch your faith, and you're going to come to know God in a way you never have before. Now, I won't tell you all the story and the things that happened, but a lot of things took place. Actually, those guys actually laid a lawsuit on him and said that he was, and they put a malpractice lawsuit on him and tried to trump things up and say that he'd fallen asleep, you know, while he was in surgery, and he was a bad doctor and everything. And so then that was added to it too. I said, listen, don't you listen to them. God, your attorney, is going to see you through this. God's going to do this. The enemy's trying to put fear in your heart. These guys are rascals. God is going to fight for you. Not one weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And then when you stand your ground, and he did, and he stood his ground, you know, even with fear, he said, I know God's going to do it. And so that thing was dismissed and went nowhere. Then he was offered back a job where they were to come and be the boss that they had. But he turned that job down and got a better job in Bradenton and more money and less pressure, and he comes to church now. I mean, he's still in our church. Now, I just said that. This is a real story. This didn't happen with Gideon. This didn't happen with the times of Judges. God is alive and working today because the word got in him and he believed God, and it was looking hopeless. It was looking bad. No money. Tell his wife, I don't have a job. No income. What are we going to do? We've got a house, house payments, responsibility. God's going to see us through. And God did see them through. Father, I pray, Lord, for people tonight that are going through circumstances and situations, let this word be alive to them. You brought this word to them because, Lord, you're going to see them through. And as they put their trust in you and begin to seek you, you're going to give a clear word and you're going to do more than they were expecting you to do and bring victory. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and before we leave tonight, God wants you to receive it. How many do? How many say, that word's for me tonight? Let me see. This word's for me tonight. Yes, all over the room. I want to ask again, the greatest miracle that ever take place is when you really meet Jesus yourself. Not just hearing about him secondhand, but that he comes into your life. You meet him. You know he's there. You enter into a relationship. You learn how to talk to him. You learn how to hear his voice. You learn how to be led. That the peace that he promises becomes yours. The confidence that he promises becomes yours. That belongs to anyone that will call on his name and put their trust in him. It's not going to church that does it. It's not being good that does it. It's not even reading the Bible that does it. It's when you yield and say, Lord, I trust you. Your promises are true. Your word says you died for me, you died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. I receive your provision and the promise that you made to me, that if I believe in my heart, confessing you with my mouth, I'd be saved. And when I did that, people all over this room did that, God kept his word, did what he promised he would do. Came in to their life, came into my life. That's what God wants to do to you tonight. It's not just a way to believe. Yes, it is. But it's an experience. You're going to experience him. He's going to come into your life. And if that's you and you've never trusted in Jesus 100% for your salvation without any of your good works added on at all, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to receive it as a gift. God did it all. He died for you on the cross. You know, he is God. Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus. He died on the cross.